Welcome back in the Zarda Barbecue Roundtable, brought to you by our friends at Zarda Barbecue, two convenient locations in Blue Springs, Missouri, and Lenexa, Kansas, to serve you Zarda's famous barbecue. It's become a Kansas City tradition, whether it's for tonight's dinner, an office picnic, a big family gathering, or an important business meeting. Zarda Barbecue, a Kansas City tradition. Joining us once again here in studio, Mark Collins, two-time Super Bowl champ and former Kansas City Chiefs defensive back, and Paul Marshall of 98.9 The Rock, Neanderthal. Raider fan extraordinaire, as it is Raiders week. And guys, let's take a look at this game this weekend. Chris and I have taken a lot of heat because all week long we've said the Raiders are going to win this game. The Raiders,
you're right. I never noticed. I didn't notice that.
You haven't noticed Nick, we've taken some heat?
That Nick got his whole week of shows out of one other guy and us.
But we're taking a lot of heat right now. And Paul, I know you probably agree with us, but Mark, I mean, where are you at right now in the way? Because neither one of these teams are really good teams.
Yeah.
But I think that there's one unit out of the, you know, I guess, if you say six, if we count special teams, one unit that I think the best unit on the field will be that Raiders defense. This Raiders defense has talent. They've got some speed. They've got some playmakers, and they've got some hitters. I just don't see how this Chiefs offense has any success against
them. Well, it depends. I think you're right. The Raiders defense is the strongest unit will be on the field. Who's playing quarterback this week? Castle. If he's got quarterback, he may do something that Brody Croyle can't do. But overall, it's a toss-up. It is so – because these teams are not together. They're not full yet.
They're neither one of them is good.
So it's like a pick'em game. And so you go, okay, is the Raiders' defense better than the Chiefs' offense? Yeah. So can the Chiefs' defense stop the Raiders' offense? Nah, I don't know. I really don't know. And Jamarcus Russell, to me, I really don't. If you watched the game last week, this kid throws a great deep ball. He throws the great short passes to McFadden out the backfield. He cannot throw it up with an intermediate route. You know, the routes from 12 to 17 to 20 yards.
Unless it's right down the middle to
That's
Zach
about it.
Miller.
But outside,
yeah, but then when he throws that, he's throwing it to Darius Hayward Bay, who it hits him right between the one and the
but
two, and
he drops it. He just doesn't see. He doesn't get it yet. I think he will in time. But if the Chiefs could bring some pressure and rattle him, which I don't think would be much for him to get rattled, I think he'll lose the game for Oakland.
And I think that's the thing that we look at and say, the Chiefs got no pressure last week against the Ravens, and the only way that they could even manufacture some pressure is by bringing guys to blitz.
Yeah.
And when they did that, you talked about it with us last week, they left the corners on an island, and if you don't have Brandon Flowers and they're picking on Maurice Leggett, then you're looking at a situation where, you know, they're not going to win every battle.
Absolutely. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, if you have to blitz, if you have to blitz the Raiders, which I would say you should, you're better because you got a quarterback there, to me, who's not a legitimate starting number one quarterback in this league. Blitz him. Make him make the deep ball and just make sure you cover yourself to stop it.
Jamarcus Russell's biggest flaw, and there are many, but his biggest flaw is not the intermediate route. It's not his inaccuracy. It's not his inability to see the field. It's ball security. Jamarcus Russell holds that ball away from his body. And I think last year he had 8 or 9 fumbles that where you come in. If I'm the Chiefs, if I'm Clancy Prendergast, I'm teaching those guys Tamba Ali off the backside and just chopping that arm down because Jamarcus drops the football a lot. And that's really going to be the key to winning the game is making Jamarcus Russell make mistakes. Because in every other facet of the game, the Raiders are more solid than the Chiefs. I'm not deluded enough to think they're going to win the AFC West or they're even going to go 500. But they are certainly, at week two of the 2009 season, more cohesive as a unit, as a team. You're bringing Matt Cassel in for his first real regular season start. He's not going to be 100% yet. You don't have much of a line right now. You're really not tackling people. You're not creating pass rush pressure. So you've got to bring Tamba Ali, who had a great game last week, off the backside and just chop at Jamarcus's arm because he will fumble the football at some point Sunday. His ball security is horrible. Now, if you are bringing blitzes, hopefully he can take a 2 or 3 step drop and just drop it over the blitzer's head to Darren McFadden or to Justin Fargus or to Michael Bush in the flat, and then it's athlete versus athlete, and the Raiders are superior athletes right now.
Well, yeah, they are, but when you blitz, you're dictating to an offense what you can and can't do. When you blitz, that running back is not going to leak out. He has to stand and block. So you talk about maximum protection. Now you're forcing your quarterback to throw the intermediate route or the deep ball. If the Chiefs could cover that, they got a good chance of winning.
And that's a big if because they haven't been able to
do
that the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And, again, you have got to force the Raiders to throw the football, which means you have got to stop the run. And in the past couple of years, the Chiefs' defense against the Raiders' running backs, Darren McFadden had 165 yards last year and averaged almost 8 yards a carry. Now you've got Michael Bush, who's healthy, Justin Fargas, who's healthy. I mean, at some point on Sunday, you're going to see Jamarcus Russell flanked by Justin Fargas, Michael Bush, and in the slot's going to be Darren McFadden. I mean, you've got a lot of weapons right there. You have got to be able to tackle guys and wrap them up and get them on the first hit, because if you're going to commit to the blitz, that means, again, it's athlete versus athlete one-on-one. And if Jamarcus, and again, that's a huge if, because he's a horrible quarterback. He's, Al Davis has never drafted a great quarterback. You think about the great quarterbacks.
What about Tom Marinovich, man?
You remember, the great Raider quarterbacks, the ones we talk about. Yeah, Ken Stabler was four generations
ago. Oh, yeah. But
Jim Plunkett was a Patriot.
Yep.
Rich Gannon was a Patriot. Matter of fact, the Patriots have been very, very beneficial to the Raiders as far as coming for players. You're talking Mike Haynes was a Patriot. Yep. I mean, Al Davis has benefited from a lot of guys. He's never developed a quarterback. He's been historically horrible at developing a quarterback, and he's got another very bad one on the football field Sunday. I disagree with you, Mark. I don't think Jamarcus Russell will ever see the game. He's an LSU quarterback.
Was it enough said?
Well, I'm just saying. He played. It's not like, you know, the LSU is not exactly a quarterback factory.
I hear you. And Al Davis, you're right, has a history of not developing, bringing a quarterback.
That's the one position he's horrible at.
And you know, then too, same with the Chiefs. The Chiefs do the same thing. They always buy their quarterbacks from other teams. Now, I think historically the Raiders had more success with their quarterbacks, and playing against Jim Plunkett when he came from the Patriots to the Raiders was a damn good one. You know, even at age 36, 37, when he got to the L.A. Raiders, was a hell of a quarterback at that age.
Yeah, but he wasn't Al Davis's guy.
You're right.
Al Davis has had an eye for talent. He's found cornerbacks. He's found running backs. He's great tight ends. I mean, Al Davis seems to find tight ends left and right. But the quarterback position, his player analysis at quarterback is terrible. It has been historically terrible, and it will be terrible again. The Jamarcus Russell, I would not be surprised when the Raiders go 6-10 this year or 5-11 that they don't draft the quarterback or look to sign a free agent in the offseason, because this is Jamarcus Russell's make-or-break year. And if he can't look good Sunday at Arrowhead against that defense, I think the message is clear.
Where are we at right now on Matt Cassel, if he plays on Sunday, and the rust factor? Because the guy got hurt in the third preseason game where he was supposed to get continuity with the offense. He's been injured. He hasn't been able to go really at full speed to practice that we've seen, because they shut it down after they go through their warm-ups and stretching and some team drills and position drills. What's that rust factor? What do you think it's going to be like for him coming into a game this weekend if he plays?
It's going to be a real slow start for him. I think it'll be a slow start. The rust will be there. And to shake the rust off, if I were offensive coordinator, you know what I'll do? I'll just say, you know what, let's go out and throw the ball deep on first down. Let's get the cobwebs, let's get the arm ready to go. Let's make the Raiders think that, you know what, I'm fine. I'm throwing the ball deep. I'm going to loosen you up. That's what I would do. But, I think the Chiefs want to start with, you know, Larry Johnson left, Larry Johnson right, to run the ball to get him acclimated to game speed. But I would just drop back and throw the ball deep a couple of times.
Well, I think the Raiders know Matt Cassel's not 100%. They know he's not 100%. Nobody's 100%. You know, when you hold him out of the week, you know, the season opener, he's going to come back. It's going to take a little while for him to get into the groove. And you're right, Mark's right. You should just let him come out and throw the ball along, stretch that defense a little bit. Because if there's one thing that's going to, the Raiders are going to be guilty of this Sunday, it's going to be over pursuit. Because Seymour and Ellis had a monster game Monday night. The Raiders' defensive line pass rush was phenomenal. So play action and delays and things like Larry Johnson delay in the shotgun is going to be a situation where, yeah, you're going to be able to get the Raiders to over-pursue. So Matt Cassel's biggest weapon this weekend will be, come out, throw it, make it look like sin. The appearance that we've been lulling you to sleep. We've got a guy in here with a howitzer on his shoulder, and he's going to do it. Now, have we seen that yet? Has this guy – I mean, Matt Cassel should really be sending a thank you letter to Al Davis, because were it not for his performance against the Raiders a couple of years ago
– he would have got a big contract.
He wouldn't have this contract. He's certainly – I mean, Matt, if there's one team –
he's
going
to take Bernard Pollard and Al Davis out to dinner?
If there's one team that Matt Cassel owes a huge Christmas card to, it certainly is the Oakland Raiders, because his performance against the Raiders when he was a Patriot really – sent a message to the league that, oh my God, this guy's been sitting on the bench behind Brady, and he is for real. I just don't know that he's for real in his first full-time, full regular season game. I just don't know yet. Maybe 6 weeks from now or 7 weeks from now when the Chiefs go into Oakland, maybe they paced him. Maybe the Castle's got his stuff together. But at this point, week two, it's going to be a real tall order to have this guy come in there and be effective immediately right out of the chute.
And Chiefs fans this week have said to make themselves feel better, well, look, the Chargers' offensive line was down two starters. And they were
not at the beginning of the game, they weren't. Those two starters were knocked out through physical play.
I say to you this,
the backups in San Diego that were brought into that game
are still better than the starters
right side of the offensive line the Chiefs have picked up off the scrap heap? And I think the answer to that is yes. That's a false sense of security that you get with that.
Let me just say this.
That was as physical a game as I've seen this Raiders team play in a while. Really was. And like, even the year they went to the Super Bowl, I didn't feel like they were as physical as they were on Monday night. I know it's only one game, and maybe the Chargers are way overrated, but the Chargers are a lot of people's pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, if not in the AFC Championship. I mean, this is a Chargers team that's supposed to run away with this division, and they got physically dominated by that Raiders defense. Now, the Raiders did what the Raiders do, and they, you know, the coaches screwed up and went passive and started playing the
pregame
defense. But the Raiders were the more physical team. They looked like the more – I mean, at the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the ball, they dominated the Chargers. And the Chiefs are coming out of a game where they just got dominated at the line of scrimmage by the Ravens on both sides of the ball. And for anybody to think that that's a recipe for success for the Chiefs, I just think they're hoping, and they're not using their head very much.
The most important thing to note in that is, A, no stupid penalties. No mental mistakes, no lapses. No, the traditional, sloppy, undisciplined Raider play is not theirs. Whatever Tom Cable and Paul Hackett are doing on the offense and whatever John Marshall's doing on the defense, they've been preaching discipline. And the Raiders haven't made, with the exception of Cornell Green, who can't stay on sides. You know how that is here in town. He's just a horrible, as far as remembering the count. Not bright, gets in the way of the guy in the other jersey. That's fine. That's his job. But that team was very disciplined Monday night as well. And I'm going to make this very clear to Chiefs fans. Todd Haley and Scott Pioli inherited a big steaming pile. And it's not their fault that they have this to work with right now. When you look at the guys that they let go and that they've been trying to replace, how many of those guys are playing on NFL rosters this year? They have inherited a horrible group of talent. And that's a horrible thing to say because those are professionals and those are guys that are out there working their asses off every Sunday to trying to be the best that they can be. But right now, a lot of these guys wouldn't make any of the other NFL squads.
The thing is, you're
league.
Not saying anything bad. 31 guys. And I feel on the roster. And I feel, no, 31 guys from last year's team aren't with this team right now, and only three of them have jobs.
And that's the thing. Look,
28 guys that Carl and Herm had here have been released, and they don't have a job.
And there you have it.
I would have given a major organ to play professional football. I love the game of football, and it's got to be hard to hear some guy who never stepped on an NFL field criticize you as an athlete, criticize you as a professional. I know it hurts these guys. A lot of these guys say they're not listening to it. Look, We hear it.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Todd Haley and Scott Pioli's fault that they have to deal with this group of people. Your future, if you're a Chiefs fan, look across the field on Sunday because the Raiders are rebuilding. They're 2 years ahead of where you're at. Where we were 2 years ago is where you are now, and it's going to get better, but not this week. Maybe by week 10 or week 12, some guys mature. Maybe you see Glenn Dorsey and Tyson Jackson mature on the field. Maybe, you know, Corey Mays becomes that starting linebacker. He was good enough to beat out Zach Thomas, so there's some potential there. Maybe, you know, Maurice Leggett learns from last week's beating. You know, those are those things, but it's not going to happen overnight. These guys are all new. They're dealing with new philosophies and new systems, and that does take some time. It's just don't be discouraged by the performance that you saw last week because there were some good performances. Brody Croyle played as well as Brody Croyle is capable of playing. He looked good as a quarterback. He made good mistakes, and he didn't turn the football over. There are going to be improvements on this football team. It's not their fault that they're this bad right now, and you can't blame Todd Haley or Scott Pioli for that. It's going to get better, just not yet.
All right,
it takes time.
I mentioned the Raiders coaches blowing this thing on Monday night. Mark, I want to get your thoughts after we take a break about prevent defenses because as fans, I think prevent defense is like the two-word phrase that we hate hearing almost as much as anything. Plus, you just said something interesting there, Mark, about players listen and players know what's being said. I want to get your thoughts on that as well. It's the Zarda Barbecue Roundtable. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll put the finishing touches on the show. Chris and Cowboy with you on a Friday afternoon.